I think because I didn't start CrossFit until I was 27, I've already done quite a lot before CrossFit, and I love training. I just love pushing myself. I love being in that environment, and while I'm still enjoying it, I don't see myself doing anything else at the moment. If it comes to the point where I'm really not enjoying going to the gym and doing it, I don't feel I need to do it anymore. I've already been at the top. I've been through injuries and come back and still being able to be among the top. So it all comes down to if I'm still enjoying it, then why would I
Why would you
not?
stop? This is episode number 79 with Samantha Briggs. This episode is brought to you by ButcherBox. ButcherBox delivers 100% grass-fed and finished beef, free-range organic chicken, and heritage breed pork directly to your doorstep on your schedule. I personally think meat can have a place in a well-rounded diet, but there's a huge, huge difference when it comes to animals that are raised in feedlots and fed primarily corn and soy and routinely given growth hormones and antibiotics, and those that are responsibly raised, fed their natural diet of grass, and never given growth hormones or antibiotics. ButcherBox gives me some peace of mind, knowing that I can trust my meat is the highest quality out there and will also taste amazing. You can order curated or custom boxes of meat, and they always come with recipe ideas for you to explore. My husband Danny and I have paired our ButcherBox meats with vegetables from our local CSA, all but eliminating the need for grocery shopping. ButcherBox is extending an awesome offer to you for listening to Pursuing Health. You can get $20 off your order plus a free order of their delicious bacon by heading to butcherbox.com and using the code JULIE20 at the checkout. That's butcherbox.com and code JULIE20. Hope you check it out and that it makes your life a little bit easier, just as it has done for me. This episode is brought to you by Mobility Wad. Do you struggle to get into good positions in your training and workouts? Are your movement compensations causing you undue pain and grief? MWAD's belief is that every human being should be able to perform basic maintenance on themselves. For nearly 10 years, Mobility Wad has been the go-to for the world's best athletes and teams. Do you know what hundreds of Olympic and world-class athletes, professional teams in the NFL, MLB, basketball, hockey, rugby, and soccer, and dozens of universities all have in common? They use Mobility Wad to train and compete at their best. I first took Dr. Kelly Starrett's movement and mobility course in 2013, and since then have read his books and followed his videos for ideas on how to address my own movement restrictions. But sometimes having all this information can become overwhelming, which is why I think the real genius is in the MWAD subscription. As part of this subscription, you have access to not only hundreds of hours of video content that can be filtered based on your specific questions, but also a daily 10-minute Mobility WAD video. You just log in and follow Kelly's instructions as if he is there coaching you in person for 10 minutes per day. You may pick up certain exercises that you wish to incorporate on a regular basis before or after your workouts. But at the very least, by following this daily program, you know you are addressing a wide range of movement patterns and body parts on a regular basis without having to think about it. I often do these sessions first thing in the morning or before bed as a way to wind down from the day. In addition, you have access to an on-ramp sequence and a 14-day mobility challenge that helps you understand the basics and identify the areas you personally need to focus on. You can lean on the MWAD community and discussion boards to learn from others who have been through similar situations or injuries. And if you need more personalized help, you can use the MWAD list to find a like-minded practitioner in your area. It's easy to become part of the Mobility WAD community, but for being a Pursuing Health listener, you can receive 20% off an annual membership with code Julie Foucher. That's JULIEFOUCHER. Just visit www.mobilitywad.com. Full potential, full power. Welcome to Pursuing Health. I'm Julie Foucher, family medicine resident and former CrossFit Games athlete. Here, I bring to you information and inspiration from experts and everyday individuals for how to use lifestyle to maximize health. Thank you so much for joining me. Now let's get started with this week's episode. Welcome back to Pursuing Health. In this episode, I get to sit down with a woman who needs really no introduction if you've been following the CrossFit Games at all for the past several years, and that is Samantha Briggs. Sam is the 2013 fittest woman on earth, and of her six appearances at the CrossFit Games, she has five top 10 finishes from 2011 through 2017. At 35, she is starting to set the standard for masters athletes, having qualified for both the masters competition at the CrossFit Games and the individual competition, and going on to finish ninth in the individual women's competition, despite being quite a bit older than most of the field of competitors. Sam has been implementing smart training strategies to ensure her longevity in the sport for many years, and in this episode, she talks a little bit about what some of those strategies are and how she's been able to stay at the top for so many years. A little bit of background about Sam. She comes from a background of football, or soccer as it's known here in the U.S., playing in England's Northern Premier League. She also competed in triathlons prior to starting CrossFit. Sam was a firefighter for 10 years, and today she is living the life of a professional CrossFit Games athlete. She's known as the engine by many fans for her indomitable work capacity, and she's overcome multiple injuries, including a debilitating knee injury that forced her to take a year off from competition in 2012, which was a time she used to focus on refining her skills and improving her movement quality and weaknesses, and that has served her for years and years to come. So in this episode, we sat down at the recent Reebok Athlete Summit in the Bahamas. We talked all about how Sam got started in CrossFit, her experiences of injuries and growth throughout her career, and what's in store for her in the coming years. A few quick reminders before we get started with the episode. First, if you're enjoying the podcast, please head over to iTunes to subscribe and consider giving it a rating. I'm also always looking for inspiring stories to share. So if you or someone you know has used lifestyle to overcome a serious health challenge, please send your story to me at info@juliefouché.com and I'll select some to share here on future episodes. Finally, please remember that although I am now officially a doctor, this podcast is meant to share the experiences of individuals and does not provide medical advice. So with that, let's get started here with episode number 79 of Pursuing Health featuring Sam Briggs. Welcome to Pursuing Health. I'm here with the one and only Sam Briggs. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
So I kind of want to start off with who Sam Briggs was pre-CrossFit and a little bit of your background, because every once in a while you'll post a little picture, give us a little insight into different parts of your life before CrossFit, but I think most people know you obviously through your CrossFit journey the last few years. And who were you before that?
Well, I was Fireman Sam, as my friends nicknamed me.
Fireman Sam.
Yeah, I was a firefighter. I played football or soccer, as you guys call it, for a lot of my life. Mm-hmm. Just loved playing sport as a kid, tried everything, did martial arts, raced mountain bikes, football, rugby, basically just tried to do anything.
A little bit of everything, which is not surprising then that you're so good at CrossFit.
I think that was always missing. It was kind of, there was never anything that I really enjoyed doing. I just like to do a lot of different stuff.
Interesting. But even like soccer, football, you played in school or somehow?
So I played in school.
You were pretty serious about it.
And then I started playing for at club level.
Okay.
And we were in the Northern Premiership, so it's not the top level, but mm-hmm. we would play in like the County Cups, and we got through a few of the FA Cup games.
Okay.
So not at the top, we were just kind of just a little bit below.
Still pretty darn good.
For a long time I was firefighting, playing football, and then I kept suffering bad ankle injuries through football, which was then affecting my work as a firefighter. Okay. So I decided to retire from football and then started running for a club.
Okay.
And that's when the triathlon started.
Got it.
And that's how I then fell into CrossFit, because somebody recommended doing CrossFit to try get stronger for the triathlons.
Interesting. And who knew? It would just, that's actually funny, because I wasn't doing serious triathlons, but I thought, oh, this will be my new thing, because I didn't really have a sport. And I said, okay, I'll sign up for a few triathlons. And then I just did sprint triathlons. And then I finally bought a bike, because I was doing them on like regular mountain bikes. And then as soon as I bought a bike, someone introduced me to CrossFit. And I have used the bike maybe like a handful of times since then.
So that's pretty similar. I bought a new bike because I qualified for the World Championships age mm-hmm. group in 2010. So bought a brand new bike, carbon fiber bike, ready for my big race. Qualified for the games that year too. Went to the games. I was like, this is awesome. So I did the games in July. Thought, well, I've already qualified for the race. Let's see how that goes. Mm-hmm. Did the World Championships in September. And then the bike never did another race.
Oh.
I have used it, mm-hmm. but...
For training, sure.
Yeah, but it was only one race.
Wow. So that was 2011?
2010.
Okay. Yeah. So that was the first year.
And that made the... It was then that I thought... So I came 19th in 2010. And that's when they made a cut for the final event.
Mm.
And I remember being sat in the stadium thinking... Next year, I want to be in this final event.
So then you were hooked.
Yeah.
What did you think before you knew about CrossFit, or if you never found out about it or it never existed, what do you think you'd be doing right now?
I think I'd probably still be in the fire service, maybe probably still doing triathlons.
Mm-hmm.
I love training, so the triathlon kind of filled that void mm-hmm. because you've got so much to train for, the running, the cycling, the swimming. So I like to be busy, so that definitely kept me busy. The better part of CrossFit is it's a lot more varied than just cycling for hours on end.
Very true. Very true. And why did you decide to go into firefighting in the first place?
I just liked being active.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of wanted to do something that I felt like kind of like helped people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you feel the same going into the medical service. Mm-hmm. It's like you're kind of doing something a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like looking at being a firefighter, being in the police service and also a military all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite sure which avenue I wanted to go down.
Okay.
And then I qualified to the interview stage for both the police and the fire service. And that's when I was like, well, which one would I rather
mm-hmm.
like do? I was kind of like, not many people like police officers, but everybody loves a firefighter.
Makes an easy decision.
And I was like, we used to see all the guys at the station like playing volleyball and doing stuff like uh-huh. that. And I'm like, they get to like do sports and yeah. stuff. I'm like, yeah, I'll do that one.
That looks like fun. That's awesome. And then I also wanted to ask about, so you obviously have been active through your whole life and been doing different sports and at a very high level. But you also in the past have posted pictures of, I think in college or times where you weren't as active or you weren't yeah. as health conscious. And I think it's important for people to see that even though you're this elite athlete, like we all go through different phases of life and that doesn't mean it has to be that way forever.
Yeah. I had about like maybe 2-3 years where I didn't do any competitive sport.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I was doing any training at all. And definitely a different lifestyle. It was going out more, eating whatever, mm-hmm. drinking a lot, a bit more partying. It was kind of the transition from high school
mm-hmm.
Into like college life.
Mm-hmm.
I was working in a bar.
Yeah.
Definitely not the healthy lifestyle, but
something so many people can relate to, whether it's starting college or being in a new environment or, you know, finishing up with your competitive sport, whether it's a high school sport or a college sport, and trying to figure out where to go next.
And I don't like regret any of it. I had like a good few few years, and then it just got to the stage where I realized that I wasn't making the right choices. Clothes were no longer fitting. It was hard to buy the clothes that I wanted to wear. And that's when I made the decision to start going back to the gym. So I actually signed back up for my old soccer team that I played for throughout school, because they had adult teams, but also not just like a high level, they had like filter levels too. So I was like, if I sign back up to doing something, I have to make the effort. And so I joined a gym, started working out, started running with my mum. So my mum's always been into running. And just gradually then started getting fitter and getting back into it. And then I went from playing at the filter levels back up to playing for the A team. And then ended up transferring teams to a better team. So
That's cool. So it was more signing up for something and having a goal and some accountability to
get yourself back into it. I knew I enjoyed playing football, and one of my friends from school still played for the team. So it was the accountability. I'm like, right, sign me up. The season started in a month. I've got a month to like start getting fit again, and I'm going to come back and play.
Awesome. Well, I want to talk to you about your CrossFit journey, because it is still to me so impressive how I think that you've been so smart about, I mean, you train harder than most people that I know, but I think you've been really smart about it too. And I think it goes back even to that, I think it was 2012 that you took the year off and realized, hey, I need to heal, you know, I have this knee injury, I need to heal, and I need to really focus on taking two steps back, improving my movement patterns and being even better. And then you came back and won in 2013. And I think that you've consistently done that. And you see, even here, we're at the Reebok Summit, you spend time doing your movement prep, warming up. You were talking about doing a circuit, like a core circuit for one of your weaknesses. It takes 40 minutes. I don't know that many people who would do that and be dedicated to doing it, you know, repeatedly to work on their weaknesses. So I guess, in part, I'm guessing that's part of your secret, but what also is your secret or your approach for staying at such a high level for so long, and being able to maintain that training volume for year after year?
I think that when I first started CrossFit, I already had like a decent kind of endurance base. I'd never really done any of the lifting or gymnastics, so as exciting as it is when I first started, you just kind of like skip over some of the basics if you've already got quite a good like baseline fitness. And I think it was clear in like 2010 and 2011, I was kind of fit enough to be there at the games, but whether I was technically good enough to be there was another issue. And then I ended up with a serious knee injury, and it was, I would have still tried to qualify for the games and compete at the games. It was my coaches at the time that actually pulled me from the Open. I'd been in a lot of pain for a long time, but tried to kind of be in denial, and I did the 7 minutes of burpees, and then
what a good one.
I know, I'm like, and then they called a meeting. They were like, "Oh, come to the gym. We'll have a chat, catch up." I walked into the gym, and the gym was empty, apart from my coach and my movement coach. And I knew straight away that
this is an intervention.
It was just like, and as soon as they said it, I had no argument back. I just went, "I know."
But it's like, hard to hear that even. And now looking back, it makes sense, sure. But in the moment, that's your life. You know, you're competing every year, and it's impossible to imagine not doing it.
Still, when the second workout was released and it was the light snatches, I was like, I can muscle them. I don't even need to bend my knee. Maybe I can still get through this. They're like, no.
Okay. Well, it pays to have a good coach who has your best interests in mind.
It was definitely hard at the time, but I think that was the time that I needed. Mm-hmm. It was like there was then no pressure on my training. Mm-hmm. I then had to stop squatting, stop doing any sort of like knee flexion. I wasn't allowed to run or mm-hmm. anything. So I had to take 100 steps back and relearn the basics, mm-hmm. like look at my movement patterns, like try and like correct things. And it was also a good time because I'd never done any gymnastics. Mm-hmm. I started working with a gymnastics coach and like really starting to learn and dial in those movements that I had no knowledge of before, mm-hmm. and focus on things that I was a lot weaker at while I couldn't do other things. So that really helped, just like the mental focus instead of focusing on what I couldn't do. Mm-hmm. It was like, well, look at all of these things that I can do. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the same approach that I've tried to have throughout. So when I had to have my shoulder surgery, mm-hmm. it was the same thing. I wasn't sure whether I'd come back and compete, but it was like, right, this is another challenge. Mm-hmm. What can we do? And that's when I started reworking with my old movement coach,
okay.
who I worked with through the knee injury. Mm-hmm. I started working with him again, and he now is a full CrossFit coach. He does full programming. Mm-hmm. So he took over everything.
That's amazing.
He then was like, right, you're finally going to be under one control. You're not allowed to do whatever you want. If you want to get back to CrossFit, we're going to get you back, and we're going to get you back right.
That's awesome.
And I basically treat my rehab as my training. Mm-hmm. So I was doing 3 hours of rehab a day, mm-hmm. and then what conditioning I could do.
Yeah. Still the same time in the gym, just a different focus.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And what keeps you motivated, or why do you continue to train and compete at this high level year after year? Or will there ever be a time where you say, okay, I need to move on and do something else?
I think because I didn't start CrossFit until I was 27, mm-hmm. I've already done quite a lot before CrossFit, mm-hmm. and I love training. Mm-hmm. I just love pushing myself. I love being in that environment, mm-hmm. and while I'm still enjoying it, I don't see myself doing anything else, mm-hmm. at the moment. If it comes to the point where I'm really not enjoying going to the gym and doing mm-hmm. it, I don't feel I need to do it anymore. Mm-hmm. I've already been at the top. Mm-hmm. I've been through injuries and come back and still being able to be among the top. Mm-hmm. So it all comes down to, if I'm still enjoying it, then why would I
not? Yeah, it makes sense. And you've thought about it. I know in the past, it was years ago, where I remember you saying, oh, maybe one more year, maybe I'll get back into triathlons. So you've thought about it before, but you just keep coming back. It seems that you just love the training so much.
Yeah, I think it was after 2016. It was 2015, I had a back injury. Then mm-hmm. I broke my foot mm-hmm. Before regionals. So it was kind of like two big setbacks that year, mm-hmm. and then going into 2016 with the shoulder injury, mm-hmm. I was like, well, maybe this is kind of a sign, maybe it's telling me, mm-hmm. my body's like, I've had enough. But that's when I restarted working with my old movement coach,
okay.
and competing last year at regionals and the games, I was the healthiest that I've felt mm-hmm. in a long time. So you were talking about my hour-long warm-ups, doing 40 minutes, focusing on things. This is what he tries to get me to do. Mm-hmm. His whole philosophy is he doesn't care whether you're winning the games. He just wants you to be able to keep training and keep doing what you love mm-hmm. for as long as possible. If your aim is to get to the games, then he's going to push you in certain areas, but he doesn't want to break you. Mm-hmm. So it's all about the preservation of the body.
Yes. Yes. It's something that I think a lot of people can benefit from, not just if you're trying to have a long athletic competitive career, but anyone who knows that they want to be working out and be active as they age. It's paying attention and not always pushing through those injuries when you have pain, but taking a step back and addressing them, or movement deficiencies, addressing them. Because if you want to be doing this for decades more, it's important to be moving the right way. But especially when people get started, I think it's so easy. Like you said, you get caught up because it's so fun and you just want to, you know, compete all the time and PR every day, and which is also fun and also important to do. But yeah, it's good to have the long game in mind. Do you have any favorite, like top favorite moments, either from training or from competing?
I think one of my like memories that will always be there would be the first event at the 2000 CrossFit Games, like going out under the stadium lights for the first time and doing Amanda.
Yeah,
I mean, it was the first time the games was held there. It was my first like big event, just like walking out and looking around and seeing all these people.
Yeah,
the spotlight was on you. I'm used to doing a lot of team sports, so it was always I'd be going out
with your team,
with
yeah.
my team, and this was just me all alone attempting to do my one rep max snatch.
Oh, how
for
far we've come.
Five.
Oh, it's so true, that big tunnel. I remember that too. And I remember when they announced, because the year before it was at the ranch, and so I remember them announcing that it was going to be at the StubHub Center and showing a video of the stadium and just getting chills, like, oh my gosh, how cool would it be to compete there? So what did you think this year of Madison and the difference between, or the different environment?
I liked it, especially for like preparing for the games beforehand. We were staying in Milwaukee and we had a little house on the lake. So every morning we'd get up and we'd like either run around the lake and then swim, or Team JST was on the other side of the lake. So we'd like swim across to their house, like have coffee, swim back.
Oh, cool.
And there was a little gym there that opened the doors up for us, and it was just so relaxed and peaceful that you didn't really get the same nerves as like being in LA when everything's so like go, 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 go. You're kind of like
so stressful,
rushed all the time. It just felt a lot more, like I said, relaxed. And then the actual games, the whole like area got involved. There were posters up. There were like bars were changing the names, and people would not recognize you as in know your names, but there were like people shouting at you, hey, CrossFitter, good luck. So they didn't know who you were, but they associated with it, and they just wanted to like wish people good luck. And it definitely felt more of a kind of family event. I saw a lot more like children there, and I think that's the generation that we're trying to inspire. And so it was a lot nicer to see them be able to get more out of the games.
That's so true. That's so true. It was a really cool, really cool feeling. Totally different. And I think you can't ever, you probably can't compare them apples to apples because they're just such different environments. But I agree. I loved that it seemed like people were more relaxed. They were using it more almost as like a vacation, just to go hang out and to watch the competition. And yeah, it seemed the way that the whole city embraced it was really cool. How long did you guys stay there before the competition started?
So we were in Milwaukee like 3 weeks prior, but we were only in Madison the actual week of.
Okay. That's really nice. And this year, you're training, still training. You're back in the UK again.
Yes.
So competing out of Europe. Do you have any specific goals or expectations for this season, or even like personal training milestones or things that you are on the horizon that you're looking towards?
Like for me, now in the master's age category, so I kind of tried to take the pressure off qualifying and be like, right, well, I've got two avenues to go mm-hmm. down. I'll be doing what I can in the open. Right. I'll do the Masters qualifiers and like then see go, where. Yeah.
But see still, where the dice that's lay. Also stressful because then you have to do so many more. Like the open is stressful enough, but then the Masters qualifier and then regionals, it's a lot of competing.
I try to make it as fun as possible. Yeah. So where I can, I'll do the workouts with friends or people will come and we'll do it at my gym. Or last year I did the Masters qualifiers out in Dubai mm-hmm. and got some of the regional athletes to come and do it against nice. Me as if they were doing a qualifying yeah. workout. So
that's awesome. It's so true, the environment. And you talk about having fun training, but the environment can make such a difference. And I think you do a good job of always surrounding yourself with people or, you know, having training partners who make it an enjoyable environment.
No, definitely.
I think that helps a lot. Speaking of Masters, so you're how old now? 30?
I'm 35. Five. I'll be okay. 36.
For this qualifier. Yeah. Okay. So what is it like? I mean, we started competing the same year. A lot of us here at this Reebok Summit started competing around that time of 2010. What is it like now that you are in the Masters category, but you're competing against these new competitors, these new girls that are coming up that are like early 20s?
I forget like how old I am sometimes. But it becomes clear when, like, if I'm training
yeah.
like with them. I know for the regionals prep camp in 2015, mm-hmm. I was training with Sarah. Mm-hmm. And the first night that we got there, like, we're talking, chatting away, and like, she doesn't go to bed until like midnight. I'm normally in bed for 9 p.m. A couple of nights go past and I'm like so tired. My training's going like, I just had no energy. I'm like, what is wrong with me? And then I'm like, I'm 10 years older than her. I need more sleep. And that's like one of the most vital things. Yeah. It's like, the older you get, you need to make sure you're getting the recovery. Mm-hmm.
That's so true.
Right, 9 p.m., I'm off to bed.
That's true. And that maturity to know that, okay, I'm going to go to bed now. I don't care if I miss out on anything. That's really good. What is a typical, do you have a typical day or how do you approach like your ideal, if you have your ideal setting and situation, how would your typical day go?
So, like I said, I normally go to bed early. So, most days I wake up before my alarm. So, that's
a good feeling.
Best way to wake up. I get up. I normally have a cold shower. And then it's breakfast time. Mm-hmm. And then I head on into the gym. We have three locations. So, I go to our nicer, warmer location for the morning training because it's pretty cold in the UK. So, that's my, like, nice surrounding.
Okay.
The nicer, warm gym.
Yeah.
And I have a few people that will come and, like, dip into my training. So, mm-hmm. it's always good when there's somebody that's already there at the gym. It's like, yes, I've got a training partner today. And I normally like to get my lifting done first thing. I tend to lift better on an afternoon, mm-hmm. so I force myself to lift on a morning. Mm-hmm. If I can hit the numbers that I want in a morning, it's like, okay, I'm good. I'm good. And then eating lots of food throughout the day, snacking, eating. Mm-hmm. And then I normally go to our first location, which is known as the ice box.
Okay, so very chilly.
Yes, it's pretty cold there, but
constantly varied environments for training.
It's our first gym. We opened that in 2012, mm-hmm. so it's still my favorite, mm-hmm. and it definitely has like a proper OG like CrossFit feel there.
Okay,
it's a big open warehouse mm-hmm. building, traditional kind of empty space, mm-hmm. fill it with some CrossFit kit, and I'll do like the rest of my training there.
Okay.
And if it's an ideal day, it's a Monday or a Friday.
What's that?
Because then I get a massage.
Oh, nice. So you do usually twice a week?
Yes. Okay. And then I have a physio twice a week for like specific stuff. So it's a general sports massage twice a week. And then if I've got anything niggling, I'll have needling or like deep tissue work twice a week.
Nice.
And once a week I see my coach, and he's a movement specialist. So.
And what is his name again?
James Jousey.
Okay. And where is he based out of?
He's based in Manchester.
Oh, okay. So that's nice. So you get to see him in person once a week at least. Okay.
We try. He's pretty busy.
I can imagine.
but where we can, it's once a week. So he can just look over how I'm moving. If we're trying to change something, I'm like, oh, my right hip's been tight since we've done that. Mm-hmm. He'll look and see, well, because we've been changing this, things will get tight here. So let's try doing these movements. Mm-hmm. And so I get like at least an hour, sometimes longer with him. And then he'll then watch the rest of my training for that morning or that afternoon. And then he can adjust my program accordingly.
Very nice. It's so important for coaches to have those eyes on and to be able to see how you're moving and how you look when you're doing the workout. So that's awesome. Okay, I want to finish with three questions I ask everyone.
Okay.
So first one is the three things that you do on a regular basis that have the biggest positive impact on your health.
Let's say 9 to 10 hours sleep.
Yes.
Definitely. Allowing myself a cheat meal, going out with friends, no counting. Allowed a beer or a wine or something like that once a week.
Okay.
I think just to get the balance between being so strict with my training and eating to then, I'm now 35, nearly 36. Mm-hmm. Like I still need to enjoy life. So I think
that's a good balance.
For a mental health,
yeah.
I think that definitely makes a big difference.
It's a great point. And normally, during the week, do you measure your food, or do you focus mostly on quality, or what is
it's
your approach?
It's more about quality. I don't measure food. I get most of my meals through a meal company called Kettlebell UK.
Okay.
And so everything's more about quality food that I'm getting and clean food rather than measured.
Okay. And then your cheat meal is just like a beer or something. It's not like a full blown out, let's eat 5 donuts.
No, I'm not really. I'd rather go out for like pizza or something, like go out for a burger or something like that.
Okay.
I don't eat red meat through the week. I don't typically do well with it, especially when I'm training.
Okay.
So like a burger is a really good.
Really good meal. Yeah. Cheat meal. Love
so
it.
Depending like, especially in summer, a lot of the coaches from the gym will go out on a Saturday after team training and it'll be have a drink, have a pizza, just like chat, hang out, chill out.
No stress.
Yeah.
Love it. Okay.
And then my third thing would be just looking regular maintenance on your body. Mm-hmm. Like I have my movement coach, regular massage. It's just making sure you stay on top of niggles before they get too bad.
Love it. What about one thing that you think would have a big impact, but you just have a hard time implementing it, or something you're working on?
Cool downs.
Mm.
I'm very good at doing my warm-ups
yeah.
and everything like that. But when I've been training all day, the last thing I want to do is like cool down properly. I'm like out of the gym.
I'm
like, see ya. I do well at it in competition.
Okay.
But only mainly because my coach forces me.
Because he's there watching.
Yep. But after training, I've been in the gym all day. I'm like, I spent an hour warming up. I've done this focus. I'm like, I'm out of here.
Like, I just want to eat and sleep.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
I just want to slob. I've been so active all day. I now want to be a couch potato.
Love it. Okay, last one is, what does a healthy life look like to you?
A healthy life? When you say that, I think of food. I think of being like sat on a porch, the sun's shining on you, and there's a nice vegetable garden growing like fresh food that you can pick yourself and just, I don't know, enjoying life and being able to enjoy life.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
There we go.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sitting down with me.
No problem.
This was awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. I loved chatting with Sam. I always learn something new about her every time we get the chance to catch up. And I especially loved hearing about the strategies that she's used to promote longevity in her performance and how much she still truly enjoys training every single day. So I'm curious about the things that you do to promote longevity in your training and your performance. Let me know one thing that you do on a regular basis to promote longevity and tag me on social media using Pursuing Health. To make sure you never miss an episode and to receive exclusive content from me, head to my website, juliefouché.com, and subscribe to my email list. If you like what you heard, don't forget to subscribe and consider giving the podcast a 5-star rating on iTunes. Also, don't forget to share your stories. If you or someone you know has used lifestyle to overcome a serious health challenge, please send me an email at info@juliefouché.com. I'll choose some of these inspiring stories to share here on future episodes. Don't forget you can train with me through Beyond the Whiteboard by visiting trainwithjuliefouché.com. Thank you again so much for listening, and I'll catch you next time on Pursuing Health. This episode is brought to you by ButcherBox. ButcherBox delivers 100% grass-fed and finished beef, free-range organic chicken, and heritage breed pork directly to your doorstep on your schedule. I personally think meat can have a place in a well-rounded diet, but there's a huge, huge difference when it comes to animals that are raised in feedlots and fed primarily corn and soy and routinely given growth hormones and antibiotics, and those that are responsibly raised, fed their natural diet of grass, and never given growth hormones or antibiotics. ButcherBox gives me some peace of mind, knowing that I can trust my meat is the highest quality out there and will also taste amazing. You can order curated or custom boxes of meat, and they always come with recipe ideas for you to explore. My husband Danny and I have paired our ButcherBox meats with vegetables from our local CSA, all but eliminating the need for grocery shopping. ButcherBox is extending an awesome offer to you for listening to Pursuing Health. You can get $20 off your order plus a free order of their delicious bacon by heading to butcherbox.com and using the code JULIE20 at the checkout. That's butcherbox.com and code JULIE20. Hope you check it out and that it makes your life a little bit easier, just as it has done for me. This episode is brought to you by Mobility Wad. Do you struggle to get into good positions in your training and workouts? Are your movement compensations causing you undue pain and grief? MWAD's belief is that every human being should be able to perform basic maintenance on themselves. For nearly 10 years, Mobility Wad has been the go-to for the world's best athletes and teams. Do you know what hundreds of Olympic and world-class athletes, professional teams in the NFL, MLB, basketball, hockey, rugby, and soccer, and dozens of universities all have in common? They use Mobility Wad to train and compete at their best. I first took Dr. Kelly Starrett's movement and mobility course in 2013, and since then have read his books and followed his videos for ideas on how to address my own movement restrictions. But sometimes having all this information can become overwhelming, which is why I think the real genius is in the MWAD subscription. As part of this subscription, you have access to not only hundreds of hours of video content that can be filtered based on your specific questions, but also a daily 10-minute Mobility WAD video. You just log in and follow Kelly's instructions as if he is there coaching you in person for 10 minutes per day. You may pick up certain exercises that you wish to incorporate on a regular basis before or after your workouts. But at the very least, by following this daily program, you know you are addressing a wide range of movement patterns and body parts on a regular basis without having to think about it. I often do these sessions first thing in the morning or before bed as a way to wind down from the day. In addition, you have access to an on-ramp sequence and a 14-day mobility challenge that helps you understand the basics and identify the areas you personally need to focus on. You can lean on the MWAD community and discussion boards to learn from others who have been through similar situations or injuries. And if you need more personalized help, you can use the MWAD list to find a like-minded practitioner in your area. It's easy to become part of the Mobility WAD community, but for being a Pursuing Health listener, you can receive 20% off an annual membership with code JULIEFOUCHE. That's JULIEFOUCHER. Just visit www.mobilitywad.com. Full potential, full power.